60 mercies for those performing tawaf,
40 for those performing sala, and 20 for those merely looking at the Kaaba. And
an amplification here has been given by Maulana Yunus Patel, who says that women have a lot of practice in staring at the bride on a stage at our wedding. So now start staring at the Kaaba and also draw Allah's mercy merely for staring and gazing towards the Kaaba. And do this, of course, with love and with deep respect for the holy Kaaba. And now I hand you back to Maulana, who will continue with his discourse.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قال الله تعالى في الكلام المجيد والفقهان عمد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج صدق الله العظيم. This is now, my dear friends, the most important part of the discussion, and that is the 5 days. We don't have the time to discuss the program in full detail. Again, an overview for you to have an idea, inshallah, what is going on regarding the Hajj. But before I do that, very, very important point I need to answer quickly. Ladies are wondering, what about us? Because sometimes we get caught up with our problems when we get to Makkah Muazzama in the state of Ihram. What do we do? Now, you are in Madinah Munawwara and you want to wish to come to Makkah Muazzama, and suddenly they are now caught up. So that now there are two rules here. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a woman that is menstruating before she leaves the Miqat point, she will perform ghusl as per everybody else. She'll put on a ihram outfit. Of course, there is no salah for it. She will now sit on the musalla. She will make niyat for umrah. And she will say labbaik. She will come to Makkah Muazzama and remain in her place of residence. And when once, as soon as the haiz condition is over, she will now make a ghusl once again, which is fard of course. And thereafter, she'll make niyat once again on the musalla. She'll now perform 2 rakat sunnatul ihram, and after making salam, of course, she will now say her niyat of labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, and then her guardian will help her, will take her towards Masjid al-Haram, and she will now complete the entire program of umrah, as we call it. This now deals with her. So very important to keep in mind. So one or two things that I forgot, and I mentioned now quickly. Whenever a person makes tawaf of Baytullah, wazu is a condition. Like we need wazu for salah, you need wazu for tawaf as well. Perchance, if your wazu breaks in the course of the tawaf of Baytullah, stop immediately, do not carry on. Come out of the Haram Sharif, close by the wazu khanas, make your wazu and get back. For example, you made 3 circuits of the Baytullah. Okay, you made 2.5. Wazu broke. Come back and start number 3 again. 4.5, start number 4 again. Keep in mind, you have to maintain wuzu at all times when making tawaf of Baytullah. Safa Marwa, the Islamic law dictates, there you do not require wuzu. Without wuzu also you can make Safa Marwa, not a problem. But tawaf of Baytullah, tawaf is like salah itself, here you have no choice but to make but to remain in wuzu all the time. Now let's come to Hajj quickly. Again, let's come back to the ladies. Perhaps, perchance, when the Hajj time arrives, she's again not in a state to perform the sunnat, namaz, etc. So what she will do? She'll make a ghusl, she'll put on her ihram outfit, she'll go to the musalla, make the niyat for Hajj now, and read a labbaik for Hajj, and carry on. And inshallah, in the following is possibly a condition should return to normal, and she will carry on with the rest of the things. Now quickly, one more time, we are now in Makkah Muazzama, alhamdulillah we have settled, everybody was waiting, the tempo was building up, anxiously waiting for the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. It is now here. It is early in the morning, of course the day before there is a hive of activity in the city, everybody is preparing and on their mind is Hajj, Hajj and Hajj bus. 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, early in the morning, you get up at any time and prepare yourself. Go into the bathroom, make a ghusl and prepare. I won't go into the details of all that. Make a sunnat ghusl, put on your ihram outfit. The ladies, you know your outfit. You men, mashallah, you know your outfit, the ihram outfit. Thereafter, either in your hotel room, but preferably go to the Haram, Masjid al-Haram. Go in front of Baytullah. There you perform your two rakat salah. Keep in mind, makruh time is of the essence here. Do not perform these two rakat in makruh time. In fact, wait for after sunrise, preferably. Or before Sehri time. Enter into Haram before Sehri time, because it is Tahajjud time. Go in the Haram and perform your two rakat namaz. Sunnatul Ihram. And thereafter, make your niyat for Hajj now. And say your labbaik. Once is farz and three is sunnah. And this labbaik will now be for Hajj. Come out of there, make your dua, etc. And get to your location wherever you supposed to take a bus. Now, conditions have changed recently. Conditions have changed. Muassasa has virtually taken over the entire program. So I haven't made Muassasa Hajj, so inshallah, Ahmad Sayyid Desai will discuss that later on, or Mufti Afzal Ilyas will do that. I will now suggest to you, the buses will pick us up at Makkah Muazzama, and you are now taken to Mina. Now, my dear friends, keep in mind, approximately 3 million people are right now have converged on the city of Makkah Muazzama. And there are just about 4 roads coming out. And, you know, the buses are in the hundreds of thousands. We get caught up sometime on small action on the highway, on the freeway. For half an hour, we get stuck there and the tempest flow. Now, that's one time Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ بِالْحَجِ. Once you are in the state of Ihram and you're now making Hajj, keep in mind 3 things. Do not utter any indecent word or speech or indulge in any kind of indecent behavior. Wala fusuk, do not involve yourself in any kind of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very important, don't get involved in fights, be it physical or verbal. You are not in a haram condition, a very sacred condition. Allah put that down knowing full well that in this condition these things happen. So therefore, care should be taken. And very important, my dear friend, you have to exercise extreme tolerance and sabr. After all, what did you come here for? You came here to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that under trying conditions, fasbir, may sabr. You will hear, inshallah, my colleague, Ahmad Said Mullah, mentioning that all hajis who pack up their bags, how many bags of sabr, Ahmad Said? 1 bag of clothing and 10 bag of sabr you take you and go. Because at every step you will find your patience being taxed. And I can tell you one thing, my dear friend, you will be taxed. You will be taxed from the time you step out of your house. Because this is part of the Hajj program. Hajj is not a mere ritual. Hajj is a program where you're going to go through various motion activities, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put you through trial. And at the end of the rainbow, what are you going to get? Allah Nabi says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man hajja lillah falam yarfuth walam yafsuk raja'aka yawmin wa lat ummu. That person who performs Hajj solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in that condition does not engage in indecency or sin, will come back home like that day that his mother gave birth to him. Now, to earn that condition, my friend, you're going to go through trial. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, one guna, one sin. The books give us various reports in terms of days, weeks, months and years. The minimum record is 40 days, he said, Allah, I'm sorry. The maximum report, 40 years, Allah, Ta'ala, I'm sorry. After 40 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his tawbah. Allah said, guna maaf. One guna, 40 years of suffering. We have committed sin our entire life. You want to go there, come back, one shot, khalas. It won't work like that. You're going to go through the trial and the suffering for you to earn that condition of raja'aka yawmin wa atawmu. So please exercise. Look, your agent may tell you, Baji, your bus will be here 6 o'clock, be downstairs in the foyer. You will be there 5:30 and 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, icon a bus. And then you will be starting Safa Marwa in the foyer right now. Safa Marwa is meant to be in a Safa, not here. Some will make Tawaf in the foyer itself. Tawaf is a Baitullah, not here. My friends, don't overlook the fact there are hundreds of thousands of buses coming in and going out. The traffic flow is very, very heavy. That is part of the trial. So just sit and relax and keep in mind, I am Allah's mehman. If Moana Khan invited Ahmad Sayyid Khan for lunch, Ahmad Sayyid Mullah for lunch, so Ahmad Sayyid Khan will have to wait until I dish that out. No matter how hungry he may be, the stomach can be saying, Kulu Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, 1,000 times, you sit and wait until I feed you. We are the mehman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you point A, B, C, where He wants to take you. Keep this condition in mind, inshallah, then things will be easy. That I can promise you. Eventually, your body, your bus, and your bus will finally arrive in Mina, and you will get to your place of accommodation. By the latest, inshallah, you should be there by Zohar time. By the latest. Some are there within the hour. I know in my first Hajj, I was there in 20 minutes. Alhamdulillah. You spend the day in Mina. Zohar, Asar, Maghrib, Isha, and tomorrow morning, Fajr. Tomorrow morning is 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, and the most important day of the Hajj is today, 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. You make a Fajr namaz in Mina, and of course, don't forget Takbir, you skip that for the time being. The buses will again pick you up from Mina, wherever the location may be, and bring you to Arafat. Arafat is the highlight of your lifetime. Your present Arafat will make you Haji. Not for a short while before midday, no. Any time between midday, even for one split second you are there, till tomorrow morning, steady time. Any time in this period, if you can make yourself appear here, you are now Haji Sahab. Of course, the condition is state of Ihram. But the wajib stay in Arafat is until sunset you have to be here. Nobody is allowed to leave Arafat before sunset. That's the normal rule. What do we do in Arafat? Inshallah, at the end I'll give you some discussion on that. But in short, spend your time here in two things, dua and istighfar. This is the place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave Adam alayhi salam, Bibi Hawa. You will say, Ya Allah, this is the maidan where you forgive Adam and Hawa, our forefathers, for one sin that they committed. Ya Allah, I am soaked in guna and sin. I beg of you forgiveness on the same ground where you forgave our forefather Ibrahim. Ya Allah, I must not leave this ground until unless you have cleansed me of all my guna and sin. And of course, make lots of dua for many things that you wish to make. When the day comes to an end, of course, sorry, I forgot again. In Arafat Maidan, we only perform two salah here, Zohar and Asar. Those who go to Masjid Nimra and follow the entire Hajj program as the normal formalities are, they perform Zohar and Asar together in Zohar time. Those of us that are in our various tents, we'll perform Zohar in Zohar time, Asar in Asar time. Also very important, my friends, all of you Hajis, both men and women, need to learn the laws of Musafir and Safar. I don't have the time to go into detail. You have to know the laws of Safar, because sometimes you are a Musafir and sometimes you are not. So when you are in a state of Safar, then 2 rakat. When you are not in a state of Safar, then it is 4 rakat. So keep this particular point in mind. Please go and consult the ulama. Look at the books. In fact, you must carry with you one little booklet called Kitabul Salah, published by the Jamiat Ulama Transvaal of Benoni, and published a beautiful kitab with all the rules they inshallah will have. Very, very important. Because remember, Allah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when you are in Safar, make your namaz, and the Quran says so as well. Now, when you are Musafir, you make full namaz, now you are a criminal. So you must be able to determine whether I'm Musafir or not. Okay. So we, the normal people, are in our various tents, in the various occasions. In your Zohar time, you make Zohar Salah. In the Asar time, you make Asar Salah. After Asar till sunset, this is now the most important part of the day in Arafat. And you'll find, inshallah, summa inshallah, virtually every Haji out of that tent, standing, the sky above, that's the canopy, and the earth is the first. The earth is the floor. And everybody are standing facing Baytullah, engaged in dua, and the tears will flow. Allah Nabi Sunnah was, that's just for the men, not for the women. He raised his hand high, he stood facing Kaaba and made dua. Earnestly, when he was tired, then the hand will come down. He relax for a while and the hand will go up again. Most of the time the hands were raised. That is a sign of humility. And Allah's Nabi, nobody can compare with humility. And he continued in this manner until the sun set. When the sun set, the permission is given for the Hajis to leave Arafat for Muzdalifah. That part I'll leave to Mufti Desai. I'm a Mufti Abdul Ilyas to elaborate on. Anyway, we will leave leave Arafat for Muzdalifah. It is now sunset. Now here again, one of two things will happen. Either you get to Muzdalifah within half an hour, or you may reach Muzdalifah tomorrow morning 3 o'clock. Traffic. It's just one road, and hundreds of thousands of buses and cars and trucks and the works. And of course, many people within the walking earth, Mufti Sahab will discuss that particular bit. When we come to Muzdalifah, keep the following in mind. If you are in Muzdalifah in Maghrib time, that means 1 hour 20 minutes within after sunset within that particular time, then you will wait, not perform your maghrib, but sit and wait. Wait for Isha time to appear. When Isha time appears, Nabi's tariqah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he combined the maghrib and the Isha in Isha time. This is the only time Allah's Nabi himself and Allah himself allowed us to make qaza deliberately of a namaz. Normal condition, no qaza. Here he says, postpone your maghrib until Isha time and combine the two together. Now, most of the people arrive in Muzdalifah in Isha time. So when they get to Muzdalifah in the Isha time, not a problem, make your maghrib and your Isha. This is the place where generally Haji is after performing the Salah and having some tea and something to eat. They now begin the search for the pebbles. And of course, here you're going to pick up your 49 pebbles, that's the normal figure. 7 will be required on the first day, that's tomorrow, and the other 21 on the subsequent days. Now, it is not necessary to pick them, but generally we have that time, so we do it. This now, like Arafat day is the most important day in the Islamic calendar. Tonight in Arafat, in Muzdalifah, this is the most important night of the Islamic calendar. Again, we should not while away the time in unnecessary chit-chat, but at least make some zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah himself has commanded the ummah, the muslimah, that فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ وَذْكُرُوا كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ. In the past, in the pagan past, people, the pagan Arabs, when they used to come here, they used to talk grandfather stories, fairy tales, talk about the exploits of the grandfather, ancestors. Allah Ta'ala is telling the Muslims at that time, okay, just as you used to talk about your forefathers here you talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَذْكُرُوا كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ. So thus we should spend some time in zikr. And wait for the morning, tomorrow morning, shortly after Sayyidi time, as the sun gets close, this is now the time for us to make wukuf Muzdalifah. Face the Kaaba and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as we have wukuf Arafah, here we got wukuf Muzdalifah. Very few minutes you spend here, and thereafter the Hajis will now leave for Mina. When they come to Mina, the first thing that they do here in Mina is to what we call Ramiya Jimar, or stoning the Shaitan. Stoning the Shaitan, keep in mind, is a symbolic action. There is no Shaitan present there. All we are doing is imitating the Sunnah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. But symbolically, just as Ibrahim alayhi salam pelted Shaitan physically, we must do so spiritually. Ibrahim alayhi salam shunned Shaitan here, we must do so similarly, likewise. He threw 7 stones, we will do likewise. You will now pelt that particular pillar. The pillar is a sign. Around the pillar are walls. Now, people normally aim for the pillar, and that the pebble of yours bounces out. It bounces out of the boundary wall, that's cancelled. So when you throw your stone, make sure they fall within the boundary of the wall. That's very, very important. Here you will cast 7 stones, one after the other. Thereafter, the women will be kept in the hotel room or wherever the accommodation is, and we make first thing intizam now for the qurbani. Now, some people make prior arrangements, others take a walk back to Muzdalifah from Mina to buy the animals at the slaughterhouse, and they make the qurbani there. When the qurbani is done, after qurbani, we are now required to attend to the hair. When we attend to the hair, we are now 95% out of ihram. We are told, put on the normal clothes, have a shower, etc., and put on normal clothes, come to Makkah Muazzama, this way this is done, and thereafter have a short rest. And if you want, you can go straight to Baytullah. It depends on your how you feel at that particular time. Go to Baytullah in your normal clothes, perform what is called Tawaf Ziyarah. This is now the most important Tawaf of your life, Tawaf Ziyarah. Perform Tawaf Ziyarah complete, and thereafter go and make Safa Marwa Sa'i. When you have done that, you have now completed virtually the most important part of the Hajj. And Hajis from here come back to Mina. That's where they spend the next 2 days, the 11th and the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah. At the end of the day on the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah, we now will come to the close after stoning the three shaitans, as we call it, and people return to Makkah. Most of them, a few people, however, remain behind for the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, that is the third extra day. But most of them come back to Makkah, and of course they prepare to come back home. In order to come back home, Allah Zabi advised the Hajis that before you depart from Makkah Muazzama to leave for home, you are now required to go back to Baytullah and make your final Tawaf, which is called Tawaful Wida. This is called the farewell tawaf. However, women that are unable to do so, fine, they are exempt from that. But everybody else is required to make tawaf of this particular tawaf called tawaful. Without that, it is sinful for the Hajj to return home. Now this, my dear friends, it was in short a very brief account of the 5 days of Hajj. Now this was in order for you to understand. Every prospective Hajj is required to get a copy of the Hajj guidebook and study it thoroughly. Now inshallah, when you read your Hajj guidebook, you will now appreciate, after hearing what was said here, you will now appreciate that and life will become easy. Keep on studying it, and when you're going to make your Umrah and your Hajj, etc., carry your book with you. Inshallah, at the end of the program, I'm not sure when they're giving it out, but the Al Ansar, who kindly published my book, A Simple Guide or a Step-by-Step Guide for Hajj and Umrah, in here, last year I included a special page in which I have a hadith here. What are the special azkar or dhikr the hujjaj should make in Arafat? So you must look at that and try to complete that, because this was taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the journey for all of you an easy one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Hajj of all that are going this year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you to conduct yourself in a manner, in both Haramain Sharifain, in a manner where you will earn Allah's pleasure and not earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your absence protect your families and your dependents, etc. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the du'as that you make in your own favor and in favor of the Ummah the Muslimah. And finally, on behalf of myself and my beloved wife and my children, I am asking all of you, when you get to Madinah Munawwara, it is now a compulsion on all of you that you convey my salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you forgot my name, you must say that person who spoke in the Hajj seminar. And in fact, I will also say, on behalf of the Al Ansar team and the families, you must convey their salam as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah. Remember, you're listening to Radio Al Ansar, coming to you on 103 FM stereo. That was Maulana Abdul Rahim Khan, and he gave you a very graphic explanation of the physical nature of Hajj. And wallahi, as I'm sitting in my chair, I was feeling tired going through the exertions with him. Jazakallah Maulana for that wonderful talk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from you for the effort you have made in giving us a lovely exposition of that. We have to pay a few bills, so we'll just run away to the marketplace and we'll come back and continue with the walking Hajj, and that will be brought to you by Mufti Ilyas.
Completed in accordance with the Sharia. Your staff were so professional and knowledgeable, and our wills were drawn up so efficiently. We have complete faith that as executors, you will take care of every last detail. Al Baraka Bank, securing your financial future the Islamic way.
And I now call upon Maulana Abdul Rahim Khan just to make one or two more points before we call upon the next speaker.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Very important point I omitted. Allah's grace it is that women are not required to remove all the hair, shave the head. When you come out of her, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So the question that I forgot to mention was, between 2 and 3 centimeters of your hair, tail end of your hair, you will now cut each time you complete your Umrah or your Hajj. Each time if you perform the Umrah to come out of the Ihram of the Umrah, you can cut between 2 and 3 centimeters of your hair from the tail end of your head. What normally is done is, they say you take your hair and wrap it around your finger and cut that amount. Now, you can cut your own hair or somebody can cut it for you. Of course, if your men folk are there, either your husband, your father or brother, etc., the mahram. Ghair mahram at any time is not allowed to touch your hair. Women can cut each other there as well. So this is a very important point I omitted. And of course, there are many, many more. I beg for your indulgence. Keep in mind that we are pushed for time. I was just sharing Ahmad Sayyid Mullah, my good friend here. A normal Hajj bayan takes 14 hours. And we are cramping the entire Hajj by 14 hours into 14 minutes. So therefore, justice cannot be done. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our humble effort. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallah Maulana. We've begun the journey, the spiritual journey. We've been to the illustrious city of Medina. And now we've come and performed the Hajj proper. Maulana Abdul Rahim Khan has taken us through that journey, and now another option, the walking Hajj or pedal Hajj as you would call it, and to take you step by step on that journey, we have Mufti Ilyas. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Mufti Ilyas.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdi Allah fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في قرآن مجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وأتم الحج والعمرة لله. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: اللهم أسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول. ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, my brothers in Islam, sisters in Islam, and all those who are listening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a perfect, easy deen to follow, and most important, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this deen perfect and very easy for us, and made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hajj is very easy, and when we explain it, you will realize that how infinite is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected elders, as soon as you decide to make Hajj, first and foremost, pay all your debts. Don't go for Hajj when you are owing people money. Don't go for Umrah when you are owing people money. Go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house with a clean slate, not owing people money. Your du'as will not be accepted. In fact, people will be cursing you. Secondly, when you proceed for Hajj, every day of your life, from the time you intend, and especially when you are in the Haramain Sharifain, perform 2 rakats of Nafil Salat, that Ya Allah, make my Hajj easy for me. Thirdly, that it is essential for a female to go with a mahram. Mahram, the lady, for example, must go with a husband, brother, or father. It is absolutely fallacious that you can go for Hajj without a mahram. Respected elders, you will go from here to Jeddah. And from Jeddah, you will proceed to Madinatul Munawwara. That is a general procedure of a South African Haji. In Madinatul Munawwara, do 3 things. Perform your Salat very regularly in the Masjid Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Recite Durood Sharif a lot. And recite Salam upon Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a lot. Do not waste your time either in Madinatul Munawwara or Makkatul Mukarrama. Whilst in Madina, make ziyarat of few places. However, realize something, that it is not faraz or wajib or sunnat to go and make salat in that place that is called the Jannat Tukra, the piece of Jannat, the Riyazul Jannah, that white carpet area. It is not faraz, wajib or sunnat to do that. Yes, it is good. If you get an opportunity, do it. Most South Africans, we perform the Tamattu Hajj. There are 3 types of Hajj. One Hajj is called the Ifrad, and the person who performs that Hajj is called a Mufrid. Second type of Hajj is called Tamattu. The person who performs is called a Mutamatti. Third type of Hajj is called the Qiran Hajj. And the person who performs it is called a Qarin. It is very simple to understand this. The Ifrad Hajj is with one Ihram you perform the Hajj. With one Ihram you perform the Hajj. The Tamattu, with two Ihrams, you wear the Ihram and you make the Umrah. Then you take out the Ihram. On the 8th of Zil Hajj, you re-adorn the Ihram for the Hajj. And then you will remove it. So it is two Ihrams, one for Umrah, one for Hajj. The Qiran Hajj is with one Ihram, you will make the Umrah and the Hajj. With one Ihram, you will make the Umrah and the Hajj. The Dhamme Shukar, which everybody is calling it Qurbani, because we are trying to make you understand, actually it is called Dhamme Shukar. The Dhamme Shukar for a Mufrid, the one who is making the Ifrad Hajj, is Mustahab. And it is wajib for the one who is making the Tamattu type of Hajj or the Qarin. Why? Because Allah has given you the opportunity and the benefit of making with one, making it allowed you to make the Umrah and the Hajj. So you make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is why you make dhamma shukr to come out of that state. When you come from Madinatul Munawwara, then you will go to a place called Birr-e Ali. At Birr-e Ali, or it is called Zul Hulayfa. These days now they have put up a board, it's called Zul Hulayfa. Understand something, that when you leave Madinatul Munawwara for Zul Hulayfa, then at that point, you will come out of the bus and go into that masjid. There you will adorn the Ihram. Point to note here is that when you leave that bus, understand fully well what is the color of your bus, what is the number of your bus, where that bus was parked. Otherwise, when you go into that masjid and come out, there are about 1,000 buses parked there. And you will get lost. You will get so lost, you will start crying there because everything looks alike there. And then, when you go into the masjid, do not take a marker that is mobile. Don't say that this dustbin, yeah, my bus is parked near this dustbin. Maybe they come and take the dustbin away. Yes, you look for a fruit stall or some cafe or some marker that is not going to disappear. Also, when you go inside there, then advise your wife or your mother, your sister, that listen, come out and wait here and meet me here and we will proceed from here. If you do not do this, then you will get lost. Then the husband gets separated from the wife, etc. There you will make two rakats of Salatul Ihram, and before that there are shower facilities there, everything. Very beautiful, clean facilities there. Remember that the two pieces of cloth and the sandals that you wear, that is the clothing of Ihram, that is not Ihram. That is the clothing of Ihram. Ihram means that you make intention that, Ya Allah, I am adorning Ihram for Umrah, or Ya Allah, I am adorning Ihram for Hajj. And then you read the Talbiyah, you read the Labbaik. Once you have done these two things, that you have made intention, and then you read your talbiyah, and then you remove your hat, you are in the state of Ihram. You are in the state of Ihram. The women folk, similar procedure, they will make their two rakats of salat, and make their intention, and when they read their talbiyah, they are in the state of Ihram. Ihram is a state, is a condition. The symbol that the men folk are in Ihram is that they have their heads exposed. when you find a person in two pieces of cloth, and you find him wearing the jumper, and he's got his head uncovered, then he is in the state of ihram, because he is generally reciting talbiyah. So in the exposing of the head lies the symbol that the man is in ihram. And in the exposing of the face lies the fact that the woman is in ihram. Now I do not know what to say, because we are beaming to 55 countries. Generally we were saying that South African women are perpetually in ihram. Now other countries are also in ihram, you see. And men folk are also getting into ihram. They take out their heads, etc. Respected elders, understand something here. That the mere fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed the woman to expose her face in the state of ihram means clearly and categorically that under all other normal circumstances her face is supposed to be covered, because ihram is not the rule, ihram is exception to the rule. And the men folk, their heads supposed to be covered all the time, because the ihram making their heads uncovered is the exception to the rule and not the rule. And this libas of ihram for the men folk, that was the libas, that was the clothing of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. That was his daily dress. So the person, alhamdulillah, now is in the state of ihram, and as adequately explained by Hazrat Maulana A.R. Khan sahab, that now certain restrictions have come on. The person, he will not now apply perfume, he will not indulge in sexual intercourse, he will not pair the nails, he will not pull the hair, and he will not hunt, and he will not do those things which contravene the state of ihram. The person goes away to Makkatul Mukarramah. This is a lengthy, strenuous, tedious journey by bus. Certain people decide to take the flight from Medina to Makkah, from Medina to Jeddah, and then from Jeddah to Makkah. We have done that. That is not very good. The same time factor is involved. However, you come into Makkatul Mukarramah, you put down your luggage, and remember, now you are going to make Umrah. You are going to make Umrah. In Umrah, there is two farz and two wajib. Two farz and two wajib. The farz is that a person is in the state of ihram and the tawaf. The wajib is that the person, he makes Safa, Marwa, Sa'i, and he makes halak or kasar, take out the hair from the head. That's the only things you have to worry about. Respected elders, the person, he goes towards the Kaaba, preferable to reach the Kaaba via the Babu Salam. However, if you cannot, then you enter through any door and lower your gaze as stated and go towards the Kaaba. It is recorded that when you see the Kaaba for the first time, your du'as are accepted. Now, the du'a that you should be making is very simple. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi stated that a person should make a dua like this, that Ya Allah, wherever are those places where there is duas accepted, Ya Allah, accept my duas there. Generally we make one dua, and if you like it, you can also make the dua. We make the dua, Ya Allah, that accept my present dua. Ya Allah, accept my past duas. Ya Allah, accept my future dua. We make that dua. Respected elders, you should make dua, cry before Allah. And every person who sees the Kaaba for the first time generally cries before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will go near the Hajr-e-Aswad, and you will go there, and it is marked by a line on the floor. This dark grey line, you will go near it. And now the men folk, they will leave their right shoulder open. The right shoulder open, and you will make a niyat. As soon as you start your tawaf, your talbiyah for your umrah stops. You will make a ramal. Three rounds you will go fast. Three rounds you will go like a brave soldier, pushing out your shoulders and your chest. and you leave your right shoulder open for 7 rounds, for all 7 rounds. After that, you will close it. If you've got opportunity, you will go to the multazam and you will go and make dua there. Drink some zamzam and then come back to the line and you will make your 9th istilam. You will make your 9th istilam, that means throwing a kiss to the Hajar Aswad, and proceed towards Safa Marwa. Safa Marwa, respected elders, it is stated that du'as are accepted. Du'as are accepted when you look at the Kaaba. Du'as are accepted when you're making tawaf. Du'as are accepted under the Mizab Rahmat. Du'as are accepted in the Hatim. Du'as are accepted at Safa. Du'as are accepted at Marwa. Du'as are accepted between Safa and Marwa. Du'as are accepted in Mina. Du'as are accepted in Muzdalifah. Du'as are accepted in Arafat. So all these places you should take advantage and make dua as much as you can. Respected elders, that understand something. When you're making tawaf, do not face your chest towards the Kaaba, because this breaks the tawaf. When you come to make your istilam, then you will make it in such a manner that your left shoulder is facing the Hajar Aswad, and stand with one foot straight and the other one 45 degrees, so that you can only face your left shoulder to the Hajar Aswad, and then you can make your istilam. Do not turn your whole entire body towards the Kaaba. That will break your tawaf. Many South Africans, unfortunately, and many people of the world, they make very strange forms of istilam. And they make some very unauthenticated, baseless methods of istilam. Abstain from all that. The Hajar Aswad is one corner, and the corner before the Hajar Aswad is the Rukn Yamani. If you are near the Rukn Yamani, then you will pass your right hand and you will continue. Between the Rukn Yamani and the Hajar Aswad, the only dua that has been proven is the dua Rabbana Atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azab an-nar. Now that dua, respected elders, has been proven. Whilst you're making tawaf, you can read Quran, read Durood Sharif, make dua in any language that you understand. Do not rush, do not push, do not harm anybody when you're making the tawaf. And respected elders, that do not go and start reading Quran Kareem whilst making tawaf, and by so doing so you are stopping others from making a comfortable tawaf. After now you made your Safa Marwa, you will go and take out your hair, and the ladies, one fingertip, you can clip that off, they are out of ihram. Now you are out of ihram, you have completed your umrah, you are going to wait for the 8th of Zilhajj. You're going to wait for the 8th of Zilhajj and make the Hajj. Respected elders, since we are putting stress on the walking Hajj, then understand few things. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says that to make the walking Hajj is more virtuous. There is more reward in that. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says the same thing. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi says the same thing. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi says the same thing. Reference C, Tafsir al-Mazhari. Respected elders, that it is written in Ahyaul Ulum al-Din, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, commentating under the ayat, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْأُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ, and complete the Hajj and Umrah for the pleasure of Allah, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they all stated that it is better, more superior to make the walking Hajj. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, and he made a wasiya to his family, that he said, I myself am making the walking Hajj, and I would like you all to make the walking Hajj. And he made a will for his entire progeny that they must make the walking Hajj. And he said about the walking Hajj,
that for every step you do, for every good action you do in the walking Hajj, you will be rewarded 700 times more than any good action that you do in the Haramain Sharifain. And you and I know, when they asked him that, are you saying 700 times more than any action done in the Haram? He said, yes. And in the Haram, when you do an action, any good action, then your rewards are multiplied 700,000 times more. So definitely, without a shadow of doubt, that if you are able to walk, walk. If you are healthy, walk. If you are incapacitated, weak and feeble, then you can go with the buses. And also remember that it is un-Islamic that the husband walks and the wife go with the buses, or vice versa. You must go with your mihram. On the 8th of Dhul Hajj, you proceed and put on your ihram. Now understand something. Walking is more meritorious and superior, and it is easier. There is no risk of getting lost or getting jammed up in any traffic jam. I explained the difference between the bus Hajj and the walking Hajj. In the bus Hajj, they make the Hajj for you. And in the walking Hajj, you make your own Hajj. That is a simple difference. Respected elders, when a person came from Madinah to Munawwara, then generally you are tired, you are fatigued, you are exhausted. And in that stage, you come and leave your goods in the hotel, and after that you come and make tawaf. To go around the Kaaba 7 times, every you are covering 0.5 kilometer. And then 2.8 kilometers. 2.8 kilometers plus 0.5 kilometers, that is what? 3.3 kilometers. And the distance between Makkah and Mina is 3.9 kilometers. So if you never die and did not die when you made your Umrah, then inshallah you can walk. Because the idea presented before us is that if you walk, you will die. And when we started walking those days, there were only 15 people ready to walk with us.
And last year when we walked with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there were 1,200 people with us. And this year inshallah it will be much more. And we'll explain to you how you can join us also. So respected elders, you go and walk. How you can walk is very simple. That you either walk in groups, or you walk under an experienced person. Do not walk with those people who have no experience. Do not walk in a group that does not have an alim who knows what is happening. Do not walk with those people who walk too fast. Do not walk with the inexperienced. Walk with reliable people. And if you have not courage, then you and your wife can just walk away and do exactly what we tell you. You'll be able to make a hajj very easy. Respected elders, that it is very sad that because the Haji is afraid, then the certain people take advantage of them and tax them too much.
Respected elders, you go behind Safa Marwa, they are walking tunnels. Behind Safa Marwa, they are walking tunnels. Generally, respected elders, that those who want to walk with us, they meet us where Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born. They meet us there on the 8th of Dhul Hajj at 4 o'clock. You come 5 past 4, we gone. 4 o'clock, we walk from there. And those walking tunnels are on the mountain of Jabal al-Qubais. And remember, respected elders, these walking tunnels are fully so-called air-conditioned. They have got extractors. They have got fans. So you walk in peace, in comfort, in ease, without any difficulty. You will walk through one of those tunnels. The first tunnel, respected elders, is a short one. Then you will walk in an open space for about 10-15 meters. And then you will walk in the next tunnel. The next tunnel is a lengthy tunnel, 1.8 kilometers. After that, you will come into a place called Azizia. Now in Azizia, you will walk across a bridge in the open for a little while until you come to the sheds. The government has constructed the sheds there. These sheds are L-shaped. you will walk in the short of the L shape, take a right turn and proceed to Mina. On the left hand side, you will see there is a small masjid, and that masjid is where the in the valley of Aqaba. The advantage of walking is that you see all the historical significant places when you are walking. You will walk and you will make your fajr. We generally leave at 4 o'clock and we make our fajr near the Jamarat. And when you are walking from Mecca, then the big Jamarat will come first. And then the middle one, and then the small one. And on the left hand side of that is the South African tents. Generally what they have done to South Africans, that they either have put us near the shaitans, or they have put us near the slaughterhouses. So they like us. Maybe this year they changed the place. Respected elders, you go away, and generally we are, because we are walking, we do not have to wait for the bus and frustrate. We go away quickly to our tents and sleep away. On the walking road, remember this very clearly, that on the walking road between Mecca and Mina, and from Mina to Arafat, on that walking road, there are special walking roads which are called pedestrian walking roads. On that road, there is no truck, no bus, no vehicle, nothing. But on that walking road, 2 years ago, every 25 meters, they had water facilities. Meaning that you could go in the side and there were containers. You press a button and cold water comes out. This year, the last Hajj we made, every 12 meters now they got those water outlets. So you cannot get thirsty. On the walking road itself, that you will be able to get food, cold drinks, everything you will be able to get on that walking road itself. Remember, if all amenities are available on the walking road, you are able to get toilets there, you are able to get everything on that walking road. And on that walking road, there are clinics, there are hospitals. Remember, when you are going to walk, then choose your sandal properly. Do not take a sandal that will hurt you. And wear a sandal before the walking Hajj itself. Test it out. And remember that the condition is that your metacarpals, that the raised bone must be exposed. And you must know that try your shoes also for the lady folks. They must try their shoes so that they are able to become accustomed to it. We have made walking Hajj and taken along those who are incapacitated on wheelchairs. However, if you are going to push your elderly mother or father on the wheelchair, that you must be ready to do it yourself and don't expect others to do it. If you are able to push your baby in the pram, we have done that before, then you can do it. You are welcome. It's very easy to do it. But remember that you must do it alone and not expect others to do it. Respected elders, in Mina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the responsibility that we make the Zuhur day, we make the Asr, we make the Maghrib, Isha, and then we make the Fajr. After Fajr, the easiest thing to do is that to take the walk, and now they have built the shelters. And as Brother Ahmad says, will explain to you on the slide, that now the shelters are from Mina right up to the border of Muzdalifah. So you access those shelters and you go down those shelters. Remember that you are not the only one walking. There are over 2 million people walking with you. So you cannot get lost in this sense that you know the direction. So you stay together, you walk together, try to have flags, try to have people to have runners with you so that you do not get lost. Try to have tagging. And try to have a system whereby you can communicate with each other. And when you walk in that, after every 2 hours stop, take a head count, have a rest, have something to eat and drink, and then proceed. You will walk like that after Fajr right up to Masjid-e-Namira. Masjid-e-Namira is the masjid in Arafat. And if you decide, you can do two things there. One is from Masjid Namira, go to the South African tent. Or secondly, from Masjid Namira, you look for your own spot and you camp there. Camping is very easy. You can take a bed sheet and you can take some napkin pins, needles, pins, and you can take some rope and create your tent and sit under it. That is if you got courage. Otherwise, from Masjid Namira to South African tent is about 3 kilometers. You can go and walk there. However, if you decide to go to Masjid Namira, remember that Masjid Namira, part of it is not in Arafat. That part is demarcated in the Masjid. It's called Wadi Arna. Masjid Namira is so big that part of Masjid Namira is outside Arafat. It is in Wadi Arna. There are three famous Masjid. One is in Arafat, Masjid Namira. And in Mina, the Masjid Khayf. And in Muzdalifa, the Mahshur al-Haram. These masjids have been built there because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is where he stopped in his Hajj. That is why they built those masjids there. As soon as you reach Arafat, you reach it to your tent, then immediately you must rest. However, understand something, that when you decide to go for the walking Hajj, then you may take a backpack or you may take a bag. And in that bag, only put essentials. The lighter you are, the more talbiyah you read, the easier your Hajj. Now in your bag, what you must have? Don't carry your whole library. Please do not carry your whole library. You cannot read in Mina or in Arafat. And when you carry books, remember after 1 kilometer, 1 kilogram becomes 2 kilograms. And after 2 kilometers, that becomes 3 kilograms. So the light thing. And the best thing to do, respected elders, if you got courage, then you carry one small book in your pocket, or not in your pocket, in your money belt, and then you carry your haji mat and walk. Everything is found on the road. But inshallah, you won't do that because you're too afraid, you see. And the people have told you that you do that, you'll die on the road. So you carry some, what you call, food in your bag. And the lighter you are, the better. What happens to South Africans? Or anybody who's walking and who's not experienced, what he says, that I got a bag, now what I must do? I carry one bag, one book. No, let me put another book inside. Then I must carry tablets for headache. In case I get diarrhea, put something else. Then in case I get a heart attack, put something else. So eventually he's walking around without a medical bag now, unfortunately. Then he caters for his family, his entire family, and he carries everything. Carry one book for him and one book for her and one book for the entire mankind. That is why it becomes very difficult for him. The lighter you are, the better. When you get into Arafat, the advice is when you go into Arafat, you go and sleep. Because the wukuf in Arafat starts after Zawal, starts after Zuhur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Hajj so easy for us that there are only 3 farais in Hajj. How many farz? 3 only farz in Hajj. One is that to be in the state of Ihram. Secondly, to be in Arafat on the 9th of Zilhajj after Zawal for a moment, right up till Sehri of the next day. Thirdly, is to make Tawaf al-Ziyarah. So Ihram, Tawaf al-Ziyarah, Wukuf al-Arafat. That is all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 5 days made 3 farais and 6 wajibat. We will explain as we go along. So simple it is. Respected elders, after Zawal, now you make your Zuhur Salat. If you are at the Masjid, you will make your Zuhur and Asr together. Otherwise, remember, you have come for Arafat. Al-Hajj Arafat, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that Hajj is Arafat. Meaning that it is farz of Hajj and plus your du'as are accepted. And everybody looks forward to go to Arafat to plead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Du'as are accepted there. And remember that Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi has stated something in his kitab which is very interesting. I would like you to listen to it very carefully. And if, inshallah, if you can memorize it, try to memorize it also. He has stated that amongst mankind, the chief of mankind is Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And amongst the Arabs, the chief is Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam.
And amongst the Anbiya, the chief is Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And amongst the Sahaba, the chief is Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And amongst the Romans, the chief is Hazrat Shu'ayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And amongst the Persians, the chief is Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And amongst the Abyssinians, the chief is Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And amongst the Kitabs, the chief is the Quran al-Kareem. And in the Quran al-Kareem, the chief is Surah Baqarah. And in the Surah Baqarah, the chief is Ayat al-Kursi. And amongst the chiefs of the days, among the chief of the days is the day of Jummah. And amongst the chief of the month is the month of Ramadan. And amongst the chief of the she-camels is the she-camel of Hazrat Saleh alayhi salam. And amongst the chief of the rings is the ring of Suleiman alayhi salam. And amongst the chiefs of the animals is the Burak. And amongst the chief of the days of Hajj is the Yawm al-Arafat. So we should value the day. From after Arafat, the wukuf, you proceed towards Muzdalifah. And you wait there. Generally what we do, we wait. And we wait for the buses, etc. to proceed, because it is not for us to leave Arafat after the sunset. You can wait and rest and go. We wait and rest and go because all the traffic goes away. And when you enter into Muzdalifah, according to the Shafi Mazhab and according to the Malik, Hanbali Mazhab, that they are allowed to pelt the shaitan in Mina after midnight. So they leave Muzdalifah very early. They leave Muzdalifah 11 o'clock to reach Mina at 12 o'clock to pelt the shaitan. Respected elders, so when we leave at about 9:30 in Arafat, from Arafat, and you can see the buses they are not far away, that they are stranded. So you go slowly, get into Muzdalifah. In Muzdalifah, you will go and make your Maghrib and Isha together with one Azan, one Iqamah. And as soon as you finish your Maghrib and your Isha, then you will go and go to the end of Muzdalifah. Then you will have a head start. And to make wukuf after Fajr Salat in Muzdalifah, that is the wajib. After in Muzdalifah, it is not recorded that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made Tahajjud Salat. So one will make intention, Ya Allah, I'm not making Tahajjud Salat because Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not make Tahajjud Salat. You will get rewarded for not making Tahajjud Salat. You will get rewarded for your intention. In Muzdalifah, you will make Mabit. Mabit means you will pick up the pebbles. And make sure you pick up the pebbles, not the dropping of the goats there. And you will wash it and see that you have picked up pebbles. And pick up pebbles, not rocks, and not boulders and stones. You understand? You pick up small ones. So, after the Fajr of Muzdalifah, and Muzdalifah, the ulama will tell you to, and everybody who has been for Hajj, no matter how tired you are, when you sleep in Muzdalifah, you will get up fresh, inshallah. Then you will proceed after the wukuf of Muzdalifah, which is wajib, after the Fajr Salat. After Fajr, you will make dua a little bit and proceed. Again, you will walk and you will access those sheds. The sheds, you will get into them and start walking towards Mina. And at the end of the shed, if a South African camp is still where it is, then you will take a right turn. As soon as you take a right turn, you could have some tea, etc. And then when you are walking, you will come to a T junction. At the T junction, take another right turn, you will come to a fire station. At the fire station, you take a left turn, that is your tent. Respected elders, so you should walk, and you should walk with someone who knows how we are saying it to you. You must have that whole map in front of you, and then walk. Now what you'll do, you'll rest. And after resting, you will go at 11 o'clock to stone the shaitan. On that day, you will go and stone the shaitan, the big one. And then, as soon as you throw the first stone, your talbiyah stops. Now you will go and make your dam-e-shukr. After dam-e-shukr, you will take out your hair. Now the ramiya jamarat, the dam-e-shukr, a removal of the hair, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, is wajib, and the sequence is wajib. Then you will go to Makkah and you will make your tawaf as ziyarah, that is faraz. Respected elders, now after that you will come to Mina, and now it is sunnah to stay in Mina. The next 2 days is very simple. The next 2 days you will find the adequate time, preferably after Asr, and you will go and stone the small shaitan. After stoning the small shaitan, then you go, step aside and make dua facing the Qibla. Then you go to the middle shaitan, stone, then you will step aside and make dua. Then you go to the big shaitan, you stone the big shaitan and step aside, no dua. You come away back to your tent and rest. And what do you do in the tent? Start fighting. Start fighting now, because you are now haji, now you fight. What you did with my musalla? Where did you take my cup? Who asked you to take touch my bag? Who told you to take my haji mat away? And who told you to take my kitab away? And where you came from? And all that, start fighting. Respected elders, don't spoil your hajj. And respected elders, when you go for hajj, you go to serve the people, not to be served. You go to help the people, not to be helped. And of all those who are going for hajj, if you want to hear us in Makkatul Mukarramah, understand and take this information down carefully, that in Makkatul Mukarramah there is a Hilton Makkah Towers on the fourth floor, left wing, from the first of Zilhajj, after Asr, 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, I will be addressing you there. And on the third of Zilhajj also, 5th, 6th, 7th of Zilhajj also, we will be addressing you there. And all those who want to join us for Hajj on the 1st of Zilhajj, you better be there to register with us, so that we can get your tent in Mina and in Arafat. Remember, respected elders, that it is virtuous, it is rewarding to make the walking Hajj. It is easy, it is not difficult. Hajj itself is easy. Do not go around and read too many books, otherwise you are going to get confused. There is a kitab by Mufti Ashiq Ilahi Bulandshahri, Kitab al-Hajj. Try to get it. We have translated it. And those books Maulana has mentioned, get it. Try to read one book on Hajj. And also, do not become a private Maulana or Mufti, that when you leave Durban and reach Johannesburg, you took a correspondence course in Islam, and when you reach Jeddah, you're a Maulana, and when you reach Medina, you're a Mufti, and when you reach Makkah, you're Grand Mufti. Leave some things for us, you understand? Then, do not sit in the lobbies and pass fatwas, and do not go around to every Maulana and ask him for your decision. Respected elders, go for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and go and come back. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written in Ihya al-Ulum al-Din that a sign of an accepted hajj is that when a person comes back, then he leaves out wrong actions, he begins to do good actions. He leaves wrong company, he adopts good company. And he becomes charitable, and also he begins to associate himself with the pious and the ulama and have good company, and he increases his zikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, hajj is easy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand this very fact, that it is simple, easy, most rewarding, providing we do it the proper way. And the golden rule, two things, that in every dua Allah ta'ala is saying that we should make dua, Allah ta'ala makes it easy. Secondly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this very easy for us, that there are only three farais. And because there are three farais in 5 days, he's showing us that this is an easy thing. And do not listen to the horrific talks that you hear from other people, that we had this experience and this experience. For every haji, he has got a separate experience. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all those who are going for hajj, and who are going to walk, and from all the countries, from India, from Kenya, from Zimbabwe, from Botswana, from Gauteng area, from all those who are getting us on this beam, may Allah ta'ala accept your hajj and make dua for the salvation of mankind. And wherever the mujahideen are fighting, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them success. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakallah. Remember, you are listening to the voice of Radio Al Ansar coming to you on 103 FM stereo. This is the Hajj seminar that is being broadcast live from the Exposition Center here in Durban, South Africa, and reaching the different continents, 55 countries. So wherever you may be, you are listening to this Hajj broadcast brought to you by the Al Ansar Foundation through the airwaves of Radio Al Ansar. It is now the turn of the regional representative of SAHUK. The acronym stands for South African Hajj and Umrah Council, and I do feel that the brother there will be mercifully short in what he has to say and concise. But just before I call Brother Ahmed Sheikh, who is the regional rep, I just want to remind you that those of you who may want to attend another gathering where the Hajj will be discussed, if you are going to be performing the Mu'assasa Hajj, then you should attend a talk by Brother Muhammad Vahid. This is called the Guide to a Walking Hajj, and some of the important things is detailed maps of Makkah and Medina will be issued to you at this talk, and also detailed maps of the walking route for this pedal Hajj. Plus, if you do attend, you'll get a free copy of the book Guide to a Walking Hajj. It will be given to you. When is this? 6th of January 2001. The venue is at Hartley Road School in Overport, Durban. So I call now Brother Ahmed Sheikh. This coming Saturday, 6th of January, Hartley Road Primary School in Overport. And obviously, most of you know where Parklands Hospital is. The school is directly next door to that. It's between 2:30 and 4:30 p.m. sharp. Plenty of parking is available and separate facilities for our sisters, of course. I now call upon Brother Ahmed Sheikh to address you.
Thank you. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My respected ulama, esteemed guests, brother Zainul Abidin, respected brothers and sisters, friends and families, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. You have been listening to our esteemed guest enlighten you about the rituals of Hajj, the manasik, the ideological aspects, the procedures of Hajj. There is, however, another whole operation about Hajj that doesn't normally get spoken about, and those are the logistics of Hajj. The actual movement of pilgrims from countries to the holy cities, within the holy cities, the process of 5 days of Hajj, and then the pilgrims returning home. And normally, if you have frustration in the holy cities, it relates to the logistics of Hajj, not the manasik, not the ibadah. It is always the movement of pilgrims, the waits, the delays, the transport, the passport problems that cause you frustration. You can well imagine 2 to 3 million people coming from all corners of the globe, all wanting to be at the same place at the same time, doing the same rituals, can clearly be a logistical nightmare. For South Africans, I'm pleased to tell you, and some of you may know already, that we have formed the South African Hajj and Umrah Council, commonly known as SAHUK, S-A-H-U-C. And inshallah, over the next, Riyas tells me, 15 minutes, I'm asked to give you a brief overview of the Hajj and Umrah Council, what we have done, how we've formed, what are the services you can expect from SAHUK, inshallah, and what role you can play as a pilgrim, potential pilgrim, or even a member of the community, inshallah. So I'm going to try my best to keep you 15 minutes. Inshallah. Briefly, the Hajj and Umrah Council was formed about 5 to 6 years ago at the request of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in South Africa, also a request from the Minister of Hajj in Saudi Arabia. And various meetings were held, mainly Islamic organizations were invited, ulama bodies were invited, and a national council was formed that comprises about 33 national Islamic organizations and ulama bodies. The head office is based in Johannesburg. We have a number of regional offices in Durban, Cape Town, Johannesburg, as well as Port Elizabeth. It is a non-profit body served by volunteers, and it has recently established a number of regional councils in each of the provinces. So that is the history. I'm giving you very brief detail and the current structure of the Hajj and Umrah Council. What is its purpose? Primarily, four reasons. Number one, to facilitate the movement of pilgrims from South Africa to the holy cities, movement within the holy cities, and back to South Africa. Secondly, many of you know that those especially who have gone for the first time for Hajj, it is a foreign place, you don't have the backup, you don't know what are the procedures sometimes, and you don't have the language of the local people, communication becomes difficult, the places of foreign transport is an issue, your documents sometimes get mislaid, you lose family members, and it is very difficult for people to cope under these kind of circumstances with the stresses of being in a foreign place. So secondly, we want to assist and facilitate between the pilgrims in these times of need to help them with the movement of Hajj, etc. Thirdly, and sadly, unfortunately, in the past, over the last few decades that South Africans have been going to the holy cities in large numbers, there have unfortunately been some very negative experiences that pilgrims have experienced. Those of you who have family or friends who have gone for Hajj may know in the past where sometimes unscrupulous agents or people who have not been very fair and ethical with you have let you down, promised you some things. When you land in the holy city, you find you don't have the air-conditioned rooms you were promised, you don't have the air-conditioned transport, you don't have your agent or your Hajj Jama leader meeting you at the airport and taking you through the motions, and this can be very disturbing at times. So the third objective we have formed, we want to act as a regulatory body to see to it that fairness is maintained, ethical practices are maintained, what you have been promised in a package in South Africa is actually what you get when you land in the holy cities, and that you are not left in the lurch. Lastly, and I guess most importantly, for the many decades that South Africans Hujjaj have been making Hajj in the holy cities, they have been going there as individuals, and they have not been speaking with one voice. There are many difficulties we experience in South African pilgrims. Maulana, who spoke just before me, spoke about how they normally place us either near the shaitans or near the slaughterhouse in Mina. And because we were not able to negotiate for better facilities for South Africans, we have been putting up as if this is our lot. But things can be better. They have been better for other nations. And I will give you an example a little later, inshallah. And now we have a council that is recognized by the South African government, recognized by the Ministry of Hajj and the Saudi government. And inshallah, we feel that this is a vehicle, this is a body, a single voice for the South African Ummah, especially for the South African Hujjaj, to negotiate and see to it that inshallah we are able to perform our Hajj in the most comfortable and problem-free manner as far as possible. So those are the four basic objectives we've been formed. I'll quickly give you some of the activities and services that we have done and we intend to do inshallah. There are two major aspects. One is within this country and one is outside of the country. Within the country, we have a system of registering all Hajj operators and travel agents. We have a code of conduct. If you are a travel agent or a Hajj operator, you are a Hajj Jama'ah leader, you have a basic code of conduct, you register with the Hajj and Umrah Council, we know your details, we know that you have booked accommodation in Makkah, you have a contract in your hand, you have not promised accommodation that you cannot deliver later on when you get to the holy city. And basically there is a code of conduct, which is a recourse, either for you as the agent, if the pilgrim lets you down sometimes, or as the pilgrim, if you are let down by the agent, there is a code of conduct where both parties have to be fair and ethical towards each other. So we register all the travel agents. We also process what is called a Sahuk ID card. Every South African pilgrim that goes to the holy city, the Minister of Hajj in Saudi has requested be clearly identified as a South African. He must have a card with his details in English and Arabic, as well as South Africa written clearly with the South African flag, so that you are clearly identifiable from other nations and other Hujjaj. So we process these cards at our local offices, and the second part of our services is in the holy cities, and probably this is the major aspect of our work. For the last 5 years, we've been sending a small team of people, 10 to 12 individuals who are Hajj volunteers. Their primary task is to act as assistants for the Hujjaj, to meet them at the airport, take them out of the airport, see to it that they go through the Muassasa offices efficiently, they are taken to the accommodation, that the agents actually fulfill the promises, that they have gone through the 5 days of Hajj, they get the transport, they are given accommodation in Mira, Arafah, etc. And also to troubleshoot, if you lose a family member, you have lost your documentation, we would take you to our database. We have offices in Makkah, Medina, and I will ask inshallah brothers Riyaz and Zain to give you details of our offices in Makkah and Medina, telephone numbers, and where exactly they are based in those holy cities, so that if you have problems, you can contact them. And the bulk of our work is in Saudia, where at least if you get to the holy cities, you have problems, there's a familiar face who speaks the language, who comes from your country and knows the difficulties. And importantly, the South African volunteer team or the Hajj mission in Saudia have been given special access cards and special visas. They are allowed to enter any part of the airport. They are allowed to enter the government departments. They are allowed to enter the various offices of the Saudi authorities and negotiate and intervene on your behalf should you have any logistical difficulties. So remember, if you are in the holy cities, you have difficulty, hopefully you will have a trouble-free Hajj. But if you land yourself into some unforeseen troubles, please call on the Hajj mission. Remember, we are sending this year, inshallah, a team of 14 people for 9,000 pilgrims, roughly speaking, between 8,500 to 9,000 pilgrims. It's a very small team. We therefore can't be all of the places all of the time. But inshallah, if you land off at one of our offices, we will do everything that is humanly possible, inshallah, to see to it that we're able to deliver some basic service to you. The third aspect of my speech, and I've got about 5 minutes left, I want to tell you some of our current focus and priorities. We have had tons of meetings, nationally and internationally. Nationally, we've met with travel agents, airlines, government departments, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the airports company. We have met with travel agents and various other parties in this country. We have also met with a number of parties internationally. But two important sets of meetings I'm going to tell you about. One of them, we were invited to the first international conference of Hajj held in Malaysia in the month of October 2000, where the Minister of Hajj in Saudi invited members from 51 countries to attend. There were roughly about 150 delegates, and we were represented at this particular international conference by the chairperson, national chairperson of the Hajj and Umrah Council, Brother Salih Mani of Cape Town. Here, the Hajj minister was asking for this conference to be made annual, and he was talking about how the Malaysian model, many of you may know Tabung Haji, especially the ulama and those who have been for Hajj regularly will know that the Malaysians are probably one of the most organized nations when they come for Hajj, and the way they go through the processes of Hajj. In fact, at one of our meetings, one travel agent was asking this brother from Tabung Haji, what special connections do you have in Saudi that you go through things so quickly? And they said, no brothers, it is 40 years of experience and hard work that we have put into it, and now you see the fruits of those work, how the Malaysians carry themselves. It's almost like military style operation. They're well identified, they go through the motions of Hajj in the best possible way, and it is largely trouble free for them. Whilst, and Maulana agrees with me, whilst we were in Malaysia attending this conference, we were fortunate to meet with a group called Tabung Haji, the Malaysian Hajj Ministry, and we had various meetings with them. We entered into an informal contract, a memorandum of understanding between the Hajj and Umrah Council of South Africa and the Hajj Council of Malaysia. We said that we will begin to cooperate with each other between South African government, Malaysian government, to see to it that we in South Africa, who are learning, crawling now as the Hajj and Umrah Council, we want to short circuit our Hajj and Umrah Council errors, and we want to get the 40 years of experience, inshallah, in a few years maybe. We want to learn from their trials and errors and hope that we don't make the same mistakes. Inshallah, this association is very important for South African Hujjaj. We invited the Malaysian Hajj Ministry to come to South Africa. They were kind enough to accept our invitation. They were here in the last week before Ramadan had started. We hosted them throughout the country. We met with various parties whilst in South Africa, and we have entered into a formal memorandum of understanding. There are many details in this which I can't give you now. If you contact one of the officers of the Hajj and Umrah Council, we can tell you how we are cooperating with the Malaysian Hajj Ministry to see to it that we give the best possible deal to South African Hujjaj, inshallah. Second part, or the second important set of meetings I want to tell you about quickly, is the Ministry of Hajj. We have met with the Ministry of Hajj from the 15th to the 19th of November. We had various meetings with the different departments and different facets of the Hajj councils in Saudi Arabia. We met with the Hajj Minister himself. We had two meetings with him as the Hajj Umrah Council. We met with the establishment, we met with the Muassasa officers, we met with the Hajj company, the bus company, and various other meetings we have had. Discussed many, many issues, macro and micro issues, very technical issues of how South African pilgrims will be taken through the processes of Hajj and how we can try and make their stay in the holy cities as problem-free as possible. Some of the important issues we've mentioned, and I'll mention five of them quickly. Number one, we spoke about how registration of agents is important. We spoke about the safekeeping and retrieval of passports. And those of you who have been for Hajj will know, these are one of the areas that cause the most frustration, how to get your passports back quickly, how to retrieve mislaid passports. We discussed accommodation and ablution, especially in Mina and Arafat. We discussed transport, especially during the 5 days of Hajj. And we also spoke about lost baggage, etc. Trying to conclude, and Zain has already pat me on the back, I'll tell you quickly about some of the challenges. Having said all of the foregoing, I would be failing in my duty if I don't say this. In the last 5 to 6 years that we have been in operation, we have, and I want you to hear it from us, we have made many errors as Hajj Umrah Council. We made many mistakes, some of it unintentional, some of it out of ignorance and inexperience, and some of it just because we were not organized quick enough. Having said that, however, I want us to move on from here. Many people have been upset. Travel agents, Hajj Umrah Council, what are you doing? We couldn't see you when we got there. Where are your offices? We can't find you. You're too far away from the Haram, etc., etc. But we are a developing body. We want you to help us to help you. We want you to help us to help you, so that all of us as the South African Hujjaj can become an exemplary community, similar to the Malaysians also, where we can go through the process of Hajj, inshallah, in a trouble-free manner. The important thing that we want to strive for in Hajj Umrah Council is there are some agents who are powerful, alhamdulillah, they have the capacity to give the best possible deal to the pilgrims that they take in their jama'ah. But what we want to do as Hajj Umrah Council is maintain some minimum standards, that no matter who your agent is, no matter what the price of your package is, no matter which city you come from in South Africa, that you would have a basic Hajj that is spiritually fulfilling, that is peaceful and dignified. And this is what we want to maintain. Those minimum standards, that no matter who your agent is, what price of the package is, that you have a decent, dignified and peaceful Hajj. And that is exactly the crux of the matter why we have become involved. And if I can mention the last 2 points, then 1 minute more. There are some new realities in South Africa, and because of active da'wah being made, alhamdulillah, in many communities, there are many people coming to the fold of Islam from disadvantaged backgrounds, from new Muslim communities, for whom, for thousands of these people, Hajj is a mere impossibility in their entire life, unless of course Allah wills. And we want to also begin to make Hajj affordable for these people. And I believe we have an extended responsibility as the Ummah in South Africa to embrace these realities in South Africa and begin to address some of these issues, inshallah, with the help of the ulama and the people in this country. Lastly, we also want to add, as the hadith says, there is an excellent way to do everything. We want to bring a degree and measure of excellence in the way we do our Hajj also. This important pillar and ibadah in Islam, we want to do it with excellence also, inshallah. Having said those few words, I want to tell you that the road ahead is long. There are many sharp bends and uphills for us to climb and to corner. But inshallah, with your support, with the support of the ulama, we are hopeful that we have enough resources in this community to make Hajj a pleasant and trouble-free experience for all South African Hujjaj, inshallah. I want to thank you very much. I hope the radio station will give you details of the offices of the Hajj Umrah Council in different parts of the country, as well as the details of the offices in Makkah, Medina, and where you can find us in the different parts of the Holy City. I thank you very much. I thank the ulama. I thank you for your attention. Thank you to Radio Al Ansar. Shukran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Thank you, Brother Ahmed Sheikh. That was Ahmed Sheikh from Sahuk, the South African Hajj and Umrah Council, coming to you on Radio Al Ansar on 103 FM stereo. Remember, when you do come back from Hajj, and if you have not used some of your bus tickets that the Muassasa gives you there, you know where to come and cash it. And if they don't cash it, you know who to catch. All right. Shortly, we will be breaking for the Asr Salah. And for the listeners now, speak to all the listeners in KwaZulu-Natal. When the Azan goes on the air, remember, it is only for the Asr Salah, not Maghrib. Maghrib Salah will take place at 7:03. After that, Radio Al Ansar will resume with normal programming until we gather here again. For the ladies, at 7:15, there will be a talk by a sister, Dr. Bushra Akhtar, and then 7:45, there is a fabulous slide display by Brother Ahmed Said Mullah. And obviously, if you've sat through this whole process and listened very attentively, as I've seen you have been doing, this particular demonstration, the slideshow, is essential. And it's going to really motivate you in such a way you'll want to pack up and leave tomorrow for Hajj, inshallah. Also, there will be a draw for the Hajj ticket after Maghrib, when we regather here and reconvene after the Asr, the Safa and Maghrib break. And now, just to give you a roundup of the arrangements for supper, I'm going to call upon Brother Muhammad Bariyawa to fill you in. Remember, you are listening to the voice of Al Ansar coming to you on 103 FM stereo.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sisters, I want to talk to you first. We're going to break for Asr now. You walk through all those doors, 2, 4, 6 doors. You're going to go upstairs on the other side, and there's facilities for salah. You read your salah. After you complete your salah, you come back downstairs where we will serve you your supper, inshallah. Your first test and your first patient is going to come today, because you are going to be quite inconvenienced upstairs. There's 4 toilets, 2 for men, 2 for ladies. You can use all 4 toilets. All 4 toilets are for you. I also require some sisters, please help us when you come back down to serve the food. You'll be eating on the floor. Exact the experience that you'll have in Mina. You'll be eating on the floor. When you sit in the tent, you'll be eating on the floor. When you're going to those toilets, you're going to stand in queues. And for your food, you're going to stand in queues. So whilst we've got wonderful souks on that side, I ask you to please be patient, come back. They open the whole night, and I told them to keep stock of each item in case one of you want to buy. Okay, sisters, so that's for you. My brothers on my left-hand side, you're going to go right through these doors, right on the other side, behind the curtain, in front of the KFC stand. Your salah will be read there. Your supper will be served there. So I don't want to see you back here until after Maghrib Salah. Okay? You want me to tell you that in Arabic, or you understood what I said? Alhamdulillah. So when you come back here, only after Maghrib Salah. And now my brother Riyaz wants me to inform you that food is going to cost you 15 rand a plate. So please have the 15 rand ready. Or if you want to pay 20 or 25 rand, it's donation. Okay? So brothers, please hold on until my sisters go through the door, and once they go through, you can follow. So the sisters can now go through.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad Bariyawa. This is once again just to remind the listeners out in KwaZulu-Natal, when you hear the azan, it will be the Asr azan, and we shall be reconvening after that. Normal programs will resume with Radio Al Ansar. Remember, this Hajj seminar broadcast is sponsored by Al Barakah Bank, the bank dedicated to promoting the socio-economic development of the Ummah through the application of Islamic business principles, and also AK Khan's digital sound of Reservoir Hills in Durban. I just want to appeal to our brothers, please be patient a few minutes longer. Let the ladies go through those doorways first, and then you may follow them.